Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 2 at 20,979. S&P 500 down 1 at 2,400. NASDAQ Composite up 20 at another record high close, 6,169. Russell 2000 small and mid caps up a fraction of a point at 1,394. Yield on the 10-year Treasury down 1 basis point at 2.33%. Oil down 35 cents at $48.31 per barrel. Gold up $6.30 at $12.3770 an ounce. Another record high close for the NASDAQ, with minor losses for the other major indices. The safe play appears to be mega cap tech plays. At least that's where the fast money is headed. A rally in the euro was reinforced by dollar losses, prompted by allegations that President Trump disclosed highly sensitive intelligence information to senior Russian officials. Late yesterday, White House National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster rejected the conclusions of a Washington Post article which claimed the president had revealed sensitive classified information to Russia's top diplomat during an Oval Office meeting last week. McMaster said the story, as reported, is false. Then this morning, Trump took to Twitter and confirmed reports by the Washington Post and other media outlets that he indeed did give sensitive information to Russian officials, tweeting he had the absolute right to do so. Questioned about the report in the early afternoon, Trump simply said he had a great meeting with the Russians. The disclosures add to concern over the administration's chances of passing legislation, including tax reform, that has partly been priced in by financial markets. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said, "I think we could do with a little less drama from the White House on a lot of things so that we can focus on our agenda." Well, not today. NBC News has just reported that Trump allegedly asked ousted FBI Director James Comey to let go of the investigation into former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. According to Comey's account of events, the conversation happened the day after Flynn resigned. Stock markets continued to hit new highs, even as new headlines out of Washington reflect what appears to be a profoundly dysfunctional White House. Stocks remain supported by the strongest earnings season for S&P 500 components since 2011. There are mostly two markets, tech and everything else. S&P 500 tech valuations, as measured by price cash flow, have struggled to break above the 15 times threshold that served as valuation floor during the 2002 through 2007 bull market. The 60% plus gain in the S&P 500 technology index since the end of 2013 has occurred with that price cash flow ratio hovering at a 15 multiple. The tech trade may be crowded, but it still doesn't look like a bubble at these valuations. The mega cap tech trade is a different beast. Amazon.com trades at 144 times 2017 earnings per share consensus, 85 times 2018 EPS consensus. Netflix trades at 155 times 2017 earnings per share consensus and 84 times 2018 EPS consensus. Tesla doesn't have positive expected EPS for 2017 or 2018. China's latest efforts to curb risky debt levels are not only shocking local markets, but raising worries globally about another market shock. As a result, China has replaced Europe as the top worry for global money managers, that according to the latest Bank of America Merrill Lynch survey published today. 31% of the 184 respondents consider Chinese credit tightening the biggest tail risk for markets. The second worry is a crash in the global bond market at 19%, followed by trade war at 16%. The China worries also feed into existing worries about expensive stocks. The Bank of America Merrill Lynch survey found that 37% of respondents think global equity markets are overvalued. That's the most since January 2000, just before the burst of the tech bubble. Commerce Department said today that housing starts ticked down 2.6% to a 1.17 million annual pace and stood just 0.7% higher than in the same month last year. Permits fell 2.5% to a 1.23 million pace in April. That was 5.7% higher than a year ago. Starts have been 6% higher in the first 4 months of this year than in the same period last year, and the pace of permits authorization is over 10% higher, pointing to stronger growth in the future. Housing starts remained strong, but the more volatile multifamily sector dropped. And this should be expected. Apartment construction bounced back more quickly after the recession and may have peaked. More of the action should now be in the single-family component, which continues to gain traction. Given underbuilding in many markets, there seems to be plenty of room for continued growth in that sector. Federal Reserve said that industrial production grew 1% in April. This is the fastest pace of growth since February 2014. Compared with a year ago, production was up 2.2%. Manufacturing was hurt by the strong dollar in 2015 and 2016, but business investment has picked up this year. In April, manufacturing output grew 1% after a 0.4% increase in the prior month. This is also the fastest rate since February 2014. One point to watch is the improvement in automobile assemblies. Given tepid auto sales, this may add to inventories and ultimately place downward pressure on car prices. The U.S. economy is now forecast to expand at a 4.1% annualized pace in the second quarter. That, according to the latest Atlanta Federal Reserve's GDP Now forecast model. Investors shrugged off reports that Ford plans to cut about 10% of its salaried workforce in North America and Asia. Ford does not plan any cuts to its hourly workforce or production capacity. Ford plans to offer financial incentives to convince salaried employees to depart voluntarily, including generous early retirement offers. In 2016, Ford cut hundreds of white-collar jobs in Europe to cut costs by $200 million annually. The focus of the new cost-cutting effort is on North America and Asia. Ford has about 30,000 salaried U.S. employees. It seems like the U.S. automakers are in an odd spot. A secular shift toward electric, driverless, or some other automotive technology paradigm seems possible. We also can't rule out a cyclical downturn, considering a recent flattening in auto sales. Meanwhile, shareholders are clamoring for cost reductions, making it hard to double down on growth projects. Home Depot's first quarter profit and same-store sales topped estimates as customers spent more on expensive items such as appliances and flooring and roofing materials. The company's shares rose about 2% to hit a record high. Sales at stores open for more than a year rose 5.5%, topping estimates. The company also raised its earnings forecast for the year ending January 2018. Home Depot's results are in contrast to falling sales at department stores such as Macy's and JCPenney, which are struggling with lower customer spending on apparel and growing competition from online and off-price retailers. Shares of Staples up 3.5% in pre-market trade, then they lost it all on 3.5% decline in regular trading as the retail sector struggled. The office supply retailer beat same-store sales expectations while matching on profit and coming up short on revenue. Net loss for the quarter to April 29th, $815 million or $1.24 per share, after profit of $41 million or 6 cents per share in the same period a year ago. TJX, the owner of TJ Maxx and Marshall's stores, posted its slowest comparable store sales growth in more than 10 quarters and forecast a disappointing current quarter profit, shares down about 5%. Urban Outfitters became the latest major retailer to report dismal first quarter results after the closing bell, with key metrics missing on all fronts. Same-store sales fell 3.1%. Revenue declined 0.2%. Gross profit margins fell. And another one bites the dust. Retailer Rue 21, owned by Apex Partners, has filed for Chapter 11 as shoppers shift their spending online and away from teen fashion trends. Rue 21 entering into a restructuring support agreement with certain stakeholders and expects to continue normal operations through the Chapter 11 process. There's a blame game brewing over the massive cyber attack that infected hundreds of thousands of computers globally, Microsoft pointing a finger at the U.S. government, while some experts say the software giant is accountable as well. The hack used a technique purportedly stolen from the U.S. National Security Agency to target Microsoft's market-leading Windows operating system. The attack started Friday. It affected computers in more than 150 countries, including severe disruptions in Britain's National Health Service. The hack effectively takes the computer hostage, demands a $300 ransom to be paid in 72 hours with Bitcoin. Microsoft blamed the NSA's practice of developing hacking methods to use against the U.S. government's own enemies. The problem is that once those vulnerabilities become public, they can be used by others. In 2014, Microsoft ended support for the Windows XP, which was released back in 2001, arguing that the software was out of date, wasn't built with modern security safeguards. The company has already been supporting it longer than it normally would have because so many customers still used it and the effort was proving costly. Microsoft released a patch for the flaw in March after hackers stole the exploit from the NSA, but some organizations didn't apply the updates. Meanwhile, hackers claim to have stolen an upcoming Disney movie for a ransom and will release the film if the company doesn't transfer the fee via Bitcoin. It's believed to be the movie Pirates of the Caribbean. CEO Bob Iger says he's not paying, but is working with the FBI on the matter. Dow Jones Industrial Average today down 2 to finish at 20,979. The S&P 500 Index down 1 at 2,400, and the NASDAQ Composite up 20, another record high, 6,169. As always, we invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio. The daily blog is eatthebankers.com, text, audio, and more at eatthebankers.com.